Listen, yeah, it's really
so
good.
It's kind right? of like.
Well, that was quite interesting. I don't know what happened, but we got gremlins that jumped into our board here, and for some reason or other, took away my ability to control anything. So, hey, I hope that little business about Charlie's, you know. The little show that Adam put together for honoring Charlie, I hope that was something that you were interested in listening to. We had to cut it off so that we can get back on our normal schedule. We didn't mean to cut Charlie off, but we are back normal again, apparently. I'm rolling. So we will be back on our normal schedule here. And I was talking about going to California and stuff like that. Now I'm a little confused at what I should talk about. You know, it was an interesting trip, and I learned an awful lot about a lot of people. You know, wherever you go, no matter whether you're talking to people you do know or people you don't know, if you treat people decently, most of them will treat you back decently. Something I kind of found out, all the different places, with the wine tasting rooms, the tourist sites that we went to, people were pretty friendly. You don't hear people being crazy. Most people just want to be friendly, and I would love to see us have more of that. I hope it can be like that. I'm not sure whether this nation has been torn apart so far that it won't get back to normal, but right now there are crazy things going on, and we'll be talking about that, by the way. Dr. Feynman and I will be talking about that sort of thing here at 12:15 when he comes on the air. Keep your fingers crossed. I'm not even sure we will get him on the air. It's been kind of a crazy morning. We still aren't able to get in touch with Scott. I've got what they call Scott's. This is called a pot, this little slide device that's on my board here. And I have Scott's pot fully engaged. So if he ever is able to figure out how to get on the air, we'll bring Scott in and do our normal Wednesday morning show. Tomorrow morning, I will have Fred Malone on with me. Fred found a terrific book that talks all about stuff that happened in the White House that people didn't, you know, the little known stuff. And he's going to get on and talk about lots of stuff like that. Hey, speaking of that, I went to a bookstore in Ojai, which is world renowned for being one of the few bookstores you can still go into, you know, privately owned bookstore. It really is world renowned because they have an old house, and it's not old, and it's not even a house anymore. They've turned it into a bookstore. Let's see, I'm trying to remember. There are probably a dozen rooms that you can go into, and they've all been outfitted with shelves, and they have them packed with used books, and the books are at obviously very reduced prices. And I've always, every time we've gone to Ojai, and I, as you know, I'm not much of a book reader, but every time we've gone to Ojai, I've bought one, two, or three books and brought them back. Excuse me, I've got hiccups going on here. And I did that again. I got two books, and maybe there'll be things that I can talk to you about. But one of the things I did, because there are so many books there. I mean, it's not just a few hundred books. It's thousands of books, and they're all used. They have first edition books that you can buy. It's just a fantastic bookstore to go into and just roam around and look at stuff. So I was looking. They have a section under for history and a section for presidents. And I don't know if you know it, but Fred Malone has asked me to impersonate, I guess that's what you call it, James Buchanan, President James Buchanan, in their group of presidents that they have every year. They have a presidential dinner where they invite the presidents to come and sit at each table, and each table has a different president. Well, one of the gentlemen who was there, I had seen every time I've ever gone there, so I knew he knew the stuff that was in the bookstore. So I went up to him and I said, "Do you have anything on James Buchanan? I'd like to read about James Buchanan." And he said, "Well, let's go over and look in the president section." We looked in the president section. He said, "Well, we couldn't find anything in the president section. Let's look under the history." We couldn't find anything under the history section. And then he said to me, he said, "You know, I've been here 10 to 12 years, and I don't remember ever seeing a book come in about President Buchanan." And I think that's true. So I'm going to have to go elsewhere. I was stunned that they didn't have, they had books on every other president you can imagine, but not on James Buchanan. Now, they had lots of books on Lincoln. That was kind of interesting. And Lincoln was around the time of, well, Buchanan was just before Lincoln. But they didn't have anything on James Buchanan. So I'm going to have to go other sources to find out about him, because I've got to learn everything I can so that when I'm dressed up as President Buchanan, I can be President Buchanan. I don't want to be. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be as close to him as I can possibly do. Now, they have all sorts of presidents. I don't know if you've ever gone to the dinner. It's fantastic. If you have the opportunity to go to it, it's in the fall. You should go. Now, they have, I believe, a president's wives dinner as well. And they have some other programs like that. Oh, well, we've got a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Sorry, forgive me. I have the wrong number.
Okay. All right. Well, we get that occasionally, the wrong number. people, we've gotten a phone call. When we were on the road, we got a phone call from a North Carolina phone. We knew that because of the zip code or the area code. Three or four times, same person must have been. And the only thing we could figure is our phone number, my wife's phone number, is a North Carolina phone number. And the only thing we could figure out is that her number was maybe a number different than the number the person was trying to call, and they kept calling that, and then my wife would answer the phone, and they would quickly get off the air. I used to have a lady that called, a lovely lady. She called me all the time. I would guess I talked to her a dozen times. I'd get a phone call. I got so I knew what the phone number was. It was out of Columbus. A very pleasant lady who admitted to me she was suffering a little bit from dementia, and she was trying to call her son, and her son's phone number was one digit different than our phone number, and so she kept getting me. I didn't mind. We got to the point where we knew each other. It's better than getting mad at somebody for bothering you with a phone call. It's really not any bother to talk to people, is it? I don't think so. I think it's great joy to be able to talk to our fellow Americans and fellow people around the world. As a matter of fact, one of the neat things that has happened recently, when we had Gary Tuttle on, the gentleman I was talking about earlier, who was in the 70s was a world-renowned distance runner. We had people from, friends of his, from Portugal and Spain listening to our show. I bet that's the farthest away we've ever had anybody listen to our show. But they did. You know, you can listen to us anywhere in the world. All you have to do, you go to our website. There are a couple ways of doing it, but the easiest way for me to explain, you go to our website, you know, WWGH, go to the website. It pulls up a screen. You'll see it there. You'll see our logo at the top. And you scroll down until you get to a little button that says listen online. And then you punch that little, well, you don't actually punch it. You click it with your mouse. And you can listen to us as live as we can allow it. You know, it's really not totally live. It's about a 30-second delay. But it's as live as we can allow it and avoid getting in trouble with the FCC. Do that if you're ever out of the area and you want to listen. Hey, I was watching an interesting show last night on Orville Redenbacher popcorn. And the reason why it was interesting to me is because Orville went to my dad's church. And he was also, my wife's father was his doctor. So we knew Orville, you know, relatively well. Not great, because he was most of the time not around. We lived in Valparaiso, Indiana. And I think Orville was born in Brazil, Indiana, I believe. Now, I'm not positive of that. But they had an actor who was pretending to be Orville, and he was a little bit more handsome than Orville. Orville was not a handsome man, but he was a very, very intense scientist, and he looked for years for the popcorn that had I can't remember what the percentage was. I think 14% might have been of humidity in the popcorn, in the seed itself. And that would make it pop perfectly. And they went through all the different, you know, he had not fights, but he worked to defeat lots of wish they were popcorn companies that were trying to take over from the Orville Redenbacher brand. The most one that you probably remember the most is Pop Secret, I believe it was called, where you had it in a little frying pan, a little aluminum frying pan, and you shook it while it was over the heat, and it would balloon out the popcorn. Well, he ended up getting the larger share of popcorn just by his work at finding the perfect seed that would pop just exactly the right amount. People, they used to call those old maids, you know, the little piece of popcorn that doesn't pop, and he would have one every 100 or something like that. I don't remember what the percentage was, but it was tiny amount. So after I watched the show, I actually got out some of my Orville Redenbacher microwave popcorn and popped it, and it was very good. But that was another one of the problems. One of the companies that was a competitor of his figured out how to put popcorn into a bag and make it microwavable. Well, that was kind of difficult, and Orville had to do a lot of different gyrations. He had to do a lot of different things to get his popcorn to pop correctly, and they found out it was had to do something with the type of bag that they popped it in. So it was a very interesting show. Now, one of the things that made it really interesting to me is they talked about Charlie Bowman, his partner, who was as instrumental in the Orville Redenbacher story as Orville himself. Charlie was a co-founder of the company and was excited to have Charlie. They were struggling to get noticed, and some marketing guy said, "Well, put Charlie's picture on the front and call it Orville Redenbacher popcorn." Before that, it was called something else, and I can't remember what it was called. But they thought that was crazy, but they tried it, and sure enough, it exploded because Orville was kind of an unusual gentleman looking, and the name Orville Redenbacher was, you either remembered it or you totally forgot it, and it worked out very well for him. But Charlie Bowman, one of the reasons why it was so exciting to me is they were talking about back in 1962 or 3, I can't remember what it was, how hard they were working to come up with the right popcorn, and how Charlie was instrumental in the promoting of the popcorn. And Judy Bowman, his daughter, was a great friend of mine. I went out with her a couple of times, but that wasn't why she was a great friend. She was just a good friend. She and I had a lot of things in common. And at the time that they were talking about, I remember going over to her house, which was not more than a few hundred yards from the high school, and watching the Beatles, their first show on Ed Sullivan. There was a bunch of us sat around in her living room and watched the Beatles. And at that time, I had no idea how hard Mr. Bowman was working to develop this popcorn, but it was kind of fun to hear the stories about how difficult it was and how all the different gyrations they had to do to get, you know, to change the popcorn from this to that and make sure it popped, almost 100%, make sure that it would pop in a bag for microwave, make sure that they could market it so people knew, would remember it. Apparently, Orville Redenbacher, still the popcorn, now Orville's passed away, but the popcorn still goes on as the number one popcorn in the nation. Now, Orville passed away from a heart attack. They didn't mention this on the show, but I happened to, his daughter told me he was in a hot tub, which caused his heart attack. So be careful. He was like 84, 85, something like that. He was not a young man, but apparently the heat of the hot tub brought on a heart attack. So you got to be careful. As you get to my age, you start thinking about everything. Okay, does that have too much salt in it? It kind of takes the fun out of living, but if you want to live a little longer, you better pay a lot more attention to what you're doing. That was one of the things when we went to California that I had to make sure I had enough pills that I can get all the way out to California and get all the way back and still not need to have a new renewal of my pills. And I cut it pretty close. I have to go pick up my pills this afternoon because I ran out yesterday. Those are things, as you get older, you start thinking about. As a kid, I wouldn't have thought a thing about that, but I hadn't had a heart attack as a kid, so therefore I didn't care much and didn't have any other maladies that I now have apparently come upon. It's nice to get older, but it has its throwbacks, doesn't it? I know I have a lot of older friends that listen to this show, so we know what we're talking about. And the younger people that are listening to the show, take care of yourself. It's really important. You never know whose life you can cause a problem to if you would pass away. I always think about all the people it would affect if I would pass away untimely. You know, people expect you as you get older to get to the end of the road, but there are things that you do that your entire family counts on that you'd like to continue doing this. So take care of yourself. All right. Well, I think we've got things working back again on the. I see things are popping back up on my computer. So maybe we've got things going okay, and we will do our normal news and weather, I hope, on the hour. And then after that's over, we're going to get Dr. Feynman on for my program called A Progressive Life. And we'll talk about all sorts of crazy stuff that's gone on. I don't know if you saw my little ad on Facebook about the things that we'll talk about, but there's lots of craziness going on in this world right now. None of which I understand, quite frankly. I will admit to it. That's why I have Dr. Feynman on. He knows this stuff. I am a interested observer, but not an expert by any means. So whatever I say, take it with a grain of salt. Oh, well. Hey, there were some things. I thought I'd read them to you anyway. There are a couple things that are going on here in Marion that I was excited about, and I will put them on tomorrow during a swap shop because they were sent in to us to read, but I thought I'd read them at the end of this show as well. There's a free drive-through dinner on Tuesday, April 26th, between 4:30 and 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo. That's at 135 West Main Street in Waldo. Now, they've had several of these, and apparently they're quite successful. Their menu includes marzetti, garlic bread, green beans, applesauce, and cherry delight. I might go down there just for cherry delight. They ask you to pull up to the front door, which is facing the parking lot, and they'll deliver a meal right to your car. And everybody's welcome. Even crazy people like me are welcome. So, and crazy people like you. Yeah, we're all welcome at the free drive-through dinner on Tuesday, April 26th at St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo. Also, a program that I'm very proud that we're bringing back. I say bringing back because I was very involved at the Marion Community Credit Union, and which is now the Pillar Credit Union, when we brought in, I think the first time, we brought the United States Army Field Band. I was lucky enough to bring them in twice. One of the reasons why we got them is because I had been a member of the United States Army Field Band, and we were able to bring them in a couple of times, and then we got a second service band. I can't remember which one it was. I'm sorry about that. But I'm glad to see that they have decided to bring that back. Now, the only way you're allowed to do these service bands is if you've proven yourself. You know, the first time is a little tough. But after that, if you've proven yourself and you've proven that you can get a crowd there, which we did, they will come back time and time again. And the word gets around amongst all the service bands. You know, each service, the Navy, the Army, Air Force, Marines, they all have their own bands. Now, the Army band that you may have heard of, the Army band, as opposed to the United States Army Field Band, the Army band basically does all the ceremonial stuff in Washington, D.C., whereas the Army Field Band does all the ceremonial stuff outside of Washington, D.C. Now, we did do, like, I marched in the inaugural parade. We did do several shows there in Washington, D.C., but most of the shows done by the Army bands in the Washington, D.C. area are done by the Army band. I don't think the Army band ever goes out on tour, whereas we did with the United States Army Field Band. But there are several bands. The Navy has a band, that's who's coming Sunday, April 24th. Their group called the Sea Chanters. Now, it's a smaller subsection of the United States Navy Band, and it's mainly song. But they're coming on the 24th of April, Sunday, at 3 p.m., and it's free. It's absolutely free. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say that you have to have tickets. Oh, yeah, here it is. Ticket information. You can call. You got a phone? You got a pencil ready? You can call 740-383-2101. Or online, you can go to marionpalace.org. And the whole thing is sponsored by the Pillar Credit Union. So thank your friends at the Pillar Credit Union. They're bringing in the Sea Chanters of the Navy Band. There are the Marine Band isn't that the one they call the President's Own? I believe it is. And they basically do only ceremonial stuff. Our group was affiliated with the Honor Guard that guards the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That was the organization that we were affiliated with. I'm trying to think. Let's see. I'm sure there's an Air Force band. That might have been the other band that I brought in when I was still there, or I was involved with. I didn't bring him in. Trying to think if there was anything else. Okay, well, those are a couple of things that are going on in the Marion area in the near future. We're going to have Dr. Feynman on here in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll have my program called A Progressive Life. And hopefully we've got everything set up so that we can so that my board will be correct. And I will go right into our spots and our news and our weather and that sort of thing, and you'll be able to hear all that going on, and then we'll come back to do A Progressive Life. We've got about 30 seconds, so I'm kind of vamping till I'm watching my board to make sure this thing happens. I hate to see it not work. We're down to 25 seconds. This is kind of scary for me. I've never not known what I was doing when I was working a board. And I've been working boards at radio stations for 50 or 60 years, something like that. Probably 60 years is close. No, yeah, 60 years probably. All right, let's wait and see if we got something here. Hang on.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.